You may take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 94. As you're turning there, I wonder, when's the last time you pledged allegiance to the American flag? And I ask that knowing that there are a couple of Canadians in our midst, as well as some other internationals, so you would have said never. And that may be appropriate. Even some of you Americans might be thinking, yeah, we shouldn't be doing that. But when's the last time? There are few countries, actually, that have a pledge of allegiance. The United States is unusual in that regard, though about half our states actually have their own pledge of allegiance to their state flags. And if you're wondering, because you live in Pennsylvania, what is it? We don't have one. So you don't have to worry about that. But think about the pledge for a moment. And if you're unfamiliar with the pledge, well, you'll have to look it up later. I'm not going to recite it. I'm not going to ask you all to stand and recite it either. That would be inappropriate in this context. But the Pledge of Allegiance envisions one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Those are massive aspirations. Are they true? A couple of weeks, school will start again, and I will be teaching yet again high school seniors American government. And we will pull apart the Pledge of Allegiance and analyze it to say, is it true? So we'll have a debate. Is it a nation under God? There are reasons to debate that. Is it actually one and indivisible? Are there divisions? And if so, where? How serious might those divisions be? Is there liberty and justice for all? Or is it for some? Or for the privileged? We live in a fallen world. We live in a state of sin and misery. And we are keenly aware that injustice exists. Those with power often use their position for self-advancement. They often do so at the expense and to the harm of others. And that can be any form of power. It can be in the home. It can be in the church. It can be in boroughs. It can be in cities, states, provinces, nations. So in the face of oppression, in the face of injustice, what should Christians do? How do we respond? We should sing. And that might be an unusual response, because obviously in the face of injustice, you may not feel like singing. Psalm 94 is given just for that circumstance. And we have sung it, but I'm going to read it to you again, just so we hear again the content of this psalm. And this is what we hear. O Lord, God of vengeance, O God of vengeance, shine forth. Rise up, O judge of the earth, repay to the proud what they deserve. O Lord, how long shall the wicked exult? They pour out their arrogant words. All the evildoers boast. They crush your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They kill the widow and the sojourner and murder the fatherless. And they say, The Lord does not see. The God of Jacob does not perceive. Perceive, O dullest of the people. Fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? He who disciplines the nations, does he not rebuke? He who teaches man knowledge. The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are but a breath. Blessed is the man whom you discipline, O Lord, and whom you teach out of your law, to give him rest from days of trouble until a pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not forsake his people. He will not abandon his heritage. For justice will return to righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Who rises up for me against the wicked? Who stands up for me against evildoers? If the Lord had not been my help, my soul would soon have lived in the land of silence, when I thought, my foot slips. Your steadfast love, O Lord, held me up. When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul. Can wicked rulers be allied with you, those who frame injustice by statute? They band together against the life of the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. But the Lord has become my stronghold, and my God, the rock of my refuge. He will bring back on them their iniquity and wipe them out for their wickedness. The Lord our God will wipe them out. Psalm 94. No doubt in our current culture, as Timothy's already observed, there are some, if not many, who are put off by the opening lines. O Lord, God of vengeance, God of vengeance, shine forth. They don't want to think of God's vengeance. Doesn't really square with our beliefs about the nature of God. We like to think of God's mercy and his compassion and his love. And he is those things, of course. When the Lord declares his name to Moses, he says, I am the Lord God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and faithfulness, who shows loving kindness to thousands. But who will by no means clear the guilty. The attributes of love and mercy and compassion mean very little apart from holiness, justice, and righteousness. What actually is mercy if there's no justice? Mercy only has meaning where there's justice. And what is love without jealousy? I'll let you think on that just for a moment. How do those things fit together? If God is love, and he loves his people, but out of his jealousy of his love, he does not defend the one whom he loves, how is that love? And you who love and are loved, you know what I'm talking about. Genuine love protects. And when that object of your affection is targeted or harmed, you feel jealous and you act. And so the psalmist desires God to act, to end injustice. And don't you have that same longing that God might arise and put an end to injustice? Spurgeon, commenting on this, says, "Our slavery, robbery, tyranny, never to cease? Since there is certainly a just God in heaven, armed with almighty power, surely there must be, sooner or later, an end to the ascendancy of evil. Innocence must one day find a defender." And because this is who God is, this is true. Now, each one of us, of course, cares about himself or herself. Some of our teachers will probably hear in the next weeks, couple months, "That's not fair." I don't think that's usually brought up in kindergarten, first, second, third grade about treatment of other students. What they mean by that is, that's not fair to me. I'm being treated unfairly or unjustly. But do we get incensed when others are treated unjustly? What about when justice is not given to others? And sadly, our nation has a history of mistreating minorities. Does that move us? What about when the unborn are treated unjustly? Or immigrants? Or the disabled? Or widows? Or generally the poor who have not the means? Victims of abuse, victims of trafficking. Do we pray, "God of vengeance, rise up? God of vengeance, shine forth"? You sense the frustration in the psalmist? I hope not only you sense it in the psalmist, but I hope you yourself begin to sense some of that frustration. How long? Justice too long delayed is justice denied. That's a famous quote from Gladstone, who was a British lawyer and prime minister, member of parliament. But in our context, it was popularized, became famous when Martin Luther King Jr. wrote that to a number of white clergy when he was in the Birmingham jail. Justice too long delayed is justice denied. And the psalmist feels that. Justice is delayed, so justice is denied. The prophet Jeremiah says, "The Lord, He is God of recompense. He will surely repay." And again, that's not usually one of those warm and fuzzy thoughts we like to get about God, that He is a God of recompense. And so the question here is appropriate. How long? It's not a question of if, but when? When will you rise up? When will you shine forth? When will you do justice? And so, to move the Lord to act, the psalmist lays out the offenses. See what the wicked do and get away with. And they're getting away with it because you're not acting. You're not working. They're crushing your people. They crush your heritage. They kill the vulnerable, the widow, the sojourner, the fatherless, those who have no defender. And then they mock that the Lord takes no notice. You have that sense? Do you feel what the psalmist feels? Because we're still waiting. There are obviously acts in history where we see the justice of God, but there's still a world of injustice. And we're still waiting. We're longing for the Lord to appear, to shine forth, to set things right. And sometimes we too can think, maybe the Lord doesn't care. The disciples asked Jesus in the midst of that storm on the Sea of Galilee, "Do you not care that we're perishing? Do you not care?" Well, there are some who believe that the Lord doesn't take notice. Maybe it's you. Maybe you think there's some things that you can get away with. And I might make an argument that anytime we sin, we're functionally acting like that. That somehow the Lord doesn't see this. And we can even lie to ourselves to excuse our sin. But the Lord knows. So if you actually believe that the Lord neither sees nor understands, you are making the worst mistake you could ever make. Because the Lord does see. He does hear. He does know. Don't be dull. Don't be unreasoning. The Creator knows. He's formed the ear. Of course He hears. He made the eye. Of course He sees. The Judge of all the earth knows. And so things are not as you might wish them to be. Because it is the fool who says there is no God. But the writer of the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 4 says, "No creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." And give account, we will. You will. I will. So we must never act as if the Lord doesn't take into account. Often on the news, there are trials and issues, kind of he said, she said. We might never know the truth of that. There are only two people in the room. You might have this debate with a boss. Well, you said, no, you said. Might be a coworker, might be a spouse, might be a parent and child, might be siblings, and maybe you're asked to adjudicate. You don't know. It's he said and she said, or he said and she, and we don't know. God knows. God knows the truth of what happened. and He is a God of justice. So we must be careful of ourselves, lest we become implicated in the evil of others. We ourselves cannot turn a blind eye. We can't pretend we don't see. Justice matters to God. Justice should matter to us. And many of us will have an opportunity to vote later this year. Be careful with your vote. That's all I'm going to say about that right now. I will preach again on this in the first week of November, to remind us of our Christian duties and how do we vote by faith. But we must be careful. We must think rightly about such matters because the Lord will act. He will act in His own timing. But just because He waits doesn't mean He doesn't care. Back in Psalm 50, in fact, the Lord rebukes such thinking. He says, "You wicked people, you see a thief and you're pleased with him and you keep company with adulterers. You give your mouth free rein for evil and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I have been silent. You thought that I was one like yourself. But now I rebuke you and lay the charge before you." So don't ever for a moment think that God's inaction is approval. He is watching. And the psalmist here affirms the Lord will not forsake His people. The Lord will not abandon His heritage. Justice will be done. There will be justice for all. The sad news is we might have to wait. In fact, you already know this by experience. We must wait. And waiting can be hard. And if you women who have been pregnant know about that, because you wait. And you wait. But you know what? All things being equal, that day of birth will come. You might have to wait. And when the doctor gave you the wrong due date, and your baby comes, quote unquote, late, baby's not coming late. Baby's coming exactly when the Lord decides the baby's coming. Your doctor's just not a very good estimate of time. So you get there and you get frustrated because, oh no, the baby's supposed to have come by now. Or maybe you have an expectation that the baby will come early. And then she doesn't. And now you're frustrated because, oh, my first one came early. So the second one's going to come early. No, the second one's coming 2 weeks late. 4 weeks later than I thought. This is the way justice can be. And it can be frustrating. Because I'm waiting. And I want right to be done. So we will need to persevere. Israel waited in Egypt for 400 years to get the promised land. Why? Because the iniquity of the Amorite was not yet complete. God was waiting. The psalmist comments here about a pit is dug for the wicked. Well, sometimes that takes a while to dig. Again, for the Amorite, it was 400 years plus. And so while we wait, we must view the time as discipline and training. And we read extensively about that from Hebrews chapter 12. discipline is training. It's in trials that we gain wisdom. It's in trials that we learn dependence. It's in trials that we learn faith and patience. And we learn to find rest. Even when times are bad. Verse 13. 12. Blessed is the man whom you discipline and whom you teach out of your law to give him rest from days of trouble. You should read that as in to find peace or tranquility or freedom from anxiety, even when times are bad. So even when there's injustice, I can still find some solace and comfort and peace. Again, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Injustice can train that. God uses this kind of experience to grow us. This is the life of faith. And we can persevere in that because the Lord is with us. He has given us of His Spirit. And if the Lord is with us, that is enough. That's the testimony of the psalmist. That's the testimony of Jesus. That's the testimony of the saints throughout history. Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Sustained because the Lord was with them. Jesus looked into the abyss as he contemplated the cross. And yet he submitted to the Father's will, for he knew that the Lord was with him, even to death. He would be the victim of injustice. But he was sustained and kept and given life again in resurrection. And as true as that is for him, that is true for us who believe in him. We have the answers in the back of the book. Revelation is a great source of consolation and hope. You might hear all kinds of fanciful interpretations of it, but it's ultimately for our consolation, comfort, and hope. I titled this sermon, Cheer for the Soul. And this is what the psalmist finds, even in the midst of injustice. When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul. When we're overwhelmed by grief, injustice, the daily, weekly cares and concerns, we can find consolation in the promises of God. But it's not just not consolation or comfort, it's actually we can find cheer, gladness. The Word of God gives us joy and true delight. He is working all things together for good. Now we're back to last week, Psalm 93. He's the king. He has all authority. He can do that. If he didn't have all authority, if he wasn't king, he couldn't necessarily do that. But we have that affirmation. So he can and he does. In his presence there is fullness of joy. There is a time coming when there will be no more death. And no tears, and no sorrow, and no pain. Don't lose heart. In that day, there will be justice. There will be justice for all. But now the psalmist He comes back to the same theme. Can wicked rulers be allied with you, those who frame injustice by statute? We still find injustice, and we find it encoded in law. Legal, by the way, doesn't mean just. I hope that's not news to anybody. Just because it's legal doesn't make it just. Unjust law is no law at all. That's also Martin Luther King quoting Augustine. Unjust law is no law at all. However, that being said, we are not empowered to take our own vengeance. And we are tempted to do that. We are tempted to retaliate. I won't ask for a show of hands because I don't need you all to put your hand up. But I know that's true. I have brothers. I have a spouse. Is that too transparent? You all know that temptation. But Paul writes, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Speak up? Absolutely. Advocate? Yes. Protest? Sure. Appeal? Yes. But never take your own vengeance. Rather, follow the example of our Savior, who did not revile and did not threaten, but rather entrusted himself to the Lord who judges justly. So in the face of injustice, the church sings. God of vengeance, shine forth. We're not surprised by injustice, but we mustn't become complacent or partner with it. Rather, we sing Psalm 94. But if you are one of those who really thinks you can get away with it, this song is a warning to you. Because we will all stand and give account. And we will either do it naked and alone, or we will do it naked with an advocate. Jesus the righteous. But if you today are not in Christ, this psalm should frighten you. This psalm should terrify you. Because our God is a God of vengeance. Our God is a consuming fire. And He will do right. As Paul says, God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might when He comes on that day to be glorified in His saints and to be marveled at among those who have believed. If you do not know God today or do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus, Psalm 94 says to you, repent. Turn from what you know is wrong and seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. And if you are a believer in God, and you do obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus, Psalm 94 is an outworking of your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And it is a source of joy that cheers our soul, because we know injustice does not get the last word. Lord, we bless your name because you are a God of vengeance. Oh, shine forth. Rise up, judge of all the earth. Render to the proud what's due them. And we pray that, trembling ourselves, because we know that apart from your mercy and grace, that is a self-maledictory, that's a self-curse. Because if we do not repent and flee to Jesus, we sing this to our own judgment. But we sing it as the people of God, sheltered by the cross of Jesus Christ. Lord, do what is right. Show yourself holy and good and right. In your name we pray. Amen.